Panthers Radio, in association with Zionomics, we've got a little special Panthers podcast for you. Plenty have been going on in recent weeks. Three new signings since we were last together. So just to chew over the fat and to discuss a few other bits and bobs, joined by my good friends, Johnny Bullard and Dan Green. Evening, gents.
Evening, Chris.
Evening, Chris. Lovely to be convening again.
Yeah, that's the way to use the word. Nice one, Jono. Yeah, nobody else can take one of the fluffed attempt by myself. Okay, well, where do we start? Well, let's go through the signings. There's lots to talk about. I'd love to touch on GB. We can end on that. And thoughts on Guildford not going to the Continental Cup. That's caused a stir. More with non-Guildford fans than Guildford fans, it seems, today. But we'll get to that later. So let's start with the three signings. First one, last week now, Josh Tetlow. Greener, great to have all three pairs back. But let's start with Tets. What would he bring, do you think, back to the Panthers?
Yeah, I think it's really good to have him. I mean, he's still relatively young, but, you know, he's played a lot of years now. And I think, you know, watching him with GB, you can see how much he's come on. And, you know, from his time in Finland's probably helped. And, yeah, you know, he's a great guy in the room. He's one of those, you know, very low maintenance, gets on with everybody. He'll just slide in, you know. And he's just, you know what you're going to get with him, you know. Is he going to score loads and loads of points? No, of course he's probably not. But, you know, rock solid, big, strong, horrible to play against. You know, I think he's a real upgrade, you know, in a, you know, obviously Archie came in and did a real good job last year. But, you know, he's a top four, top six British defenseman at the moment. And, yeah, I think he's a really good addition.
Jono, I wonder how much you think he will have improved. He's talked about how he's changed as a player since going in Europe. It won't just change as a player, maybe on the ice, but off it, the whole package will probably be a different Tetlow to we knew, you know, from the season before last.
True, but this was his second spell in Finland. I don't think a lot of people may remember that during the COVID season, he played 14 games in Finland in their third tier. This time he was in their second tier, 45 games, regular season, 10 in the playoffs, two goals, seven assists, a plus minus a plus 11. And that is in the second tier of what is currently the gold medal nation in the World Championships. That's a really, really good standard he's been playing at. And you could see how much he's improved when you saw his performances for Great Britain in the World Championships. I think it's a great to see him back. It's great that he's come back, and I'm pretty certain he'll come back a much, much better player than he was as well.
I agree with you, guys. You make some really valid points. As you said, Jono, you know, he's not just been playing in any old league in Europe. Like you say, one of the best nations in the world at ice hockey, and he's been playing in their second tier. And I'm going to come on to this question more in depth, but I think, you know, we're beginning to have the basis of a new era of sort of British players at, you know, at the Nottingham Panthers. It's, you know, the old guard have retired or moved on. And you know, now I think, you know, finally we're going to get that core. And obviously what needs to happen is they need to be kept now for year after year after year, which brings, you know, on to Ollie Betteridge and, you know, such a popular player up and down the Panthers fan base, the elite league. A lot of clubs like Tetlow, a lot of clubs were, you know, certainly were going hard after Ollie Betteridge. Sheffield, I know, very hard after him indeed, but he chose Nottingham. What will Ollie bring, do you think, Greener?
I think that's one thing, you know, not even mentioning his obvious talent. I think just having a fan's favourite, you know, I think that's something we probably missed last year. You know, that guy that the fans really recognise, they really pull for, you know, they've kind of seen him grow up here. And I think, again, it's just the way he plays, you know, his all action, you know, he's physical, he gives 100% every shift. And he just plays with his heart and soul. And again, I think that's what we missed last year. I think he's a guy that will go out there and, you know, win or lose or score 3 points or no points. He'll play the same way every game. He's got a great attitude. You know, guys really like him, very coachable. And hopefully we'll start to see, you know, we were seeing it. He was starting to put a few more points on the board. And, you know, hopefully next year can be the year he maybe makes another step up and he really starts to contribute. So, yeah, really excited and really glad to have him back.
I think, Jono, once it was obvious that Ollie was coming back from Europe, it was a signing that Panthers just had to make. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, without any shadow of a doubt. I mean, he's only ever played for the Panthers in the Elite League. He had a spell at Swindon earlier in his career in the EPIHL, but you know, he's only ever played for Panthers. And I think it would have been a really gutting to see him go to another Elite League team, especially if he'd have ended up in Sheffield. I think that would have ripped a lot of Panthers fans' hearts out, quite frankly, including mine. But yeah, he's had a great season in Hungary. Another one who has taken the plunge to go and experience another European league. He's won a Hungarian championship with Ferencváros. So he's done really, really well. And you know, he came away, I think, with 34 points in 48 games. So that is none too shabby. And like Dan says, he's improving that points production. And we saw that when he was with the Panthers, he was improving his points production year on year on year. I think he'll come in now at 27. He's sort of going to be hitting his sort of peak years as a forward. And I think he will certainly be contributing very much to the points column this coming season.
Yeah, absolutely. He scored some big goals in Hungary as well, didn't he? As he helped his team get to game seven.
Yeah, well, did he want to score a game seven winner in one of the rounds? I seem to remember.
Greener, you remember.
I know in the final, in game six, he scored the game tire with like under a minute left to send it to overtime. With the goal he pulled. And yeah, I think, I don't know if it was a sort of an overtime winner, but I think he had a couple of game winners along the way, like, you know, in the playoff run. So
yeah, it'll be really interesting as well to see where he fits in this Nottingham Panthers setup. Obviously, we don't know the makeup of the team yet. There's only three players signed for next season, but where will he be put in, you know, in a line? You know, personally, I'd love to see him given a chance, you know, on one of the higher lines. It'll be really interesting to see what role he will play for next season. Brings us next on. We've done Ollie and Tet, now on to Jordan Kelsall, back for his fifth successive season. Been with the Panthers a long time now, of course. Had that one season on loan at Dundee as well, but it's now five in a row for Jordan Kelsall. And Greener, Jordan showed last year, you know, he has many sides to his game. He's developing into a forward who can score some big goals. We saw that he can slot in defence and did a fabulous job. He's dropped the gloves. He's developing into a bit of an all-rounder, is Jordan.
Yeah, and a bit like what you just said, you made a good point about Ollie, like where he'll slot in. I think the same is with Kelsall, really. I mean, obviously, he's going to be a forward, but, you know, he could play on a checking line. But also, I think we saw sometimes this year, if other guys weren't performing, he was slotting in on those top two lines and chipping in with points. Remember that great goal he scored against Cardiff on the breakaway? But I think he can play up and down the lineup, really. And, you know, he just does everything right. You know, again, he's not going to be, you know, a huge, huge points guy, but he's going to hit, he's going to penalty kill, he's going to block shots, he's going to play D if he has to. I think he's another guy that's, he's quite quiet, but he's kind of turning into that leader where you see year on year, you know, especially off the ice, he's, I'm sure you probably deal with it more with the media side, you know, he's doing more interviews, he's just sort of growing a bit now, and he's almost turning into one of the leaders. So I think the fact, a bit like Ollie, you've got those two and Tets, it's three guys that kind of know what it means to be a Panther. They've been here, they get it, and to kind of have them all back at the same time, I think is massive.
Well, you've answered a question there, which I'm going to push Jono on in a minute, but just, I'll talk about Jordan with you, Jono. Strikes me he's a happy man, though, isn't he, at the moment? It's Notts County got promoted.
Yeah.
Buzzing, that boy was. You know, so he's a happy man, so he'll have a happy summer. But Jono, you know, like you commentated on every single home game this season, bar one last season, actually, when you were a little bit poorly. But he did score some great goals. And one of your favourite goals and my favourite goals was that goal that Greener mentioned, that breakaway goal against Cardiff.
Yeah, it was a great finish, especially considering he was facing Ben Bounds as well. But it was all his own work, because he won the puck on the boards, went clear, and then just went coolly, takes it round Bounds and pops it into the net. It was a great finish. But he scores from all positions. I think the little intro video that you put out with the signing that showed that goal and then, you know, a scruffy goal close in and then another was a tip in, it doesn't matter. He can score like a nice goal, a dirty goal, a rebound goal. He's there and thereabouts. And he's another one like Ollie who's been improving his points production year in, year out. And he scored 7 goals the last season, which was his highest since he became a Panthers player. So yeah. He's always improving. But I think you made a great point straight off there that he's such a good all-round player. He slotted in on defence, like you say. He plays on the penalty kill every time that we're shorthanded. And then he chips in with the odd goal and some good points as well. He really is becoming an important linchpin of this Panthers side. And like you say, he's a local lad. He gets exactly what it means to put that shirt on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you say 7 goals. It's a great point. If you could push that to 10, 12, 13 next season, that's...
I think he's got to be looking at double figures next season from the way he's improving, the way he's playing. And the confidence he seems to be building as well. He seems to be getting just more and more confident year in, year out.
And it's a great point you make there, Jono. And Greener touched on that. So I just want to push you on that. You know, you talk about leaders, you know, it seems crazy. And I think I asked them all this in their interviews in the last week or so, but they're young, you know, none of them are over 30. You know, the oldest is what? Is it Ollie at 27, did we say?
Ollie's 27. I think Tex is 25 and Jordan's 23.
But you already feel that they are the leaders of the group. Whatever way this team's going to be moulded, you know, they know what it's like to play for Nottingham. And the beauty, Jono, is they're not in their 30s. If we say they're in their 20s, you know, if things go right, this could be a core of players for many years to come. And a bit like David Clark and Robert Lakovic, you know, Matthew Myers, Danny Myers, you know, I'm just naming a few, Robert Farmer, Stevie Lee, Dan Green. Mm. You know, there was a core of players, and I've only named some of them there, but there was a core that came back year after year. And that's what this club needs again, because it's been lacking that in recent years.
Yeah, well, you look. This will be Jordan's 6th full season with the Panthers. Ollie, wow, I think he's on. He must be getting on for about his 10th season all in. I think full time.
I think not far.
Yeah,
on.
Full time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th season. As a full time player. And I think Tex is looking at sixth and seventh season as well. So they're like veteran players for the Panthers, and they're still sort of in their early mid 20s, which is great.
Yeah, Greener, how you know, you've been part of that core of returning British players. How important is it of having that nucleus that understand UK ice hockey, understand Nottingham on the dressing room? Do you think?
I think it's massive. Yeah. I mean, I was really lucky kind of wherever I played, it seemed we kind of had that, you know, you'd walk into the room and there was 3, 4, 5 people, you know, and obviously it wasn't as important for me because I was from here, you know, from England and I know the league, but you know, if you're an import guy or a couple of guys walking in and, you know, you had Stevie, Clarkey and Lacko, straight away you knew all about the city, all about the league, the rink, how the Panthers was run, the office, just how everything went. And yeah, I think the last couple of years, with obviously all of those guys kind of not being around one by one, it's just you could be in any team really, but I think you need that identity where now guys will walk in, the new guys this year will walk in and, you know, you've got Ollie, Tets and Kels, you know, and probably maybe a few others, but you know, they're there straight away. You know, they've got all the info you need. Any questions answered. They're, you know, and you know what they're like as people. They'll do anything for you, show you around the city. Like you said, like how the league runs, how the teams run. And yeah, it's having that core. I think you look at the teams that have been successful over the years, more recently, you know, the Sheffield, Cardiff, whoever, and they've really had that core, the likes of the Jonathan Phillips, the Davey Phillips, and you know, it only takes a week or so for everybody to get bedded in. So hopefully this year, with that kind of core returning, we'll kind of have maybe one up on some of those teams.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. And that's no disrespect to people like Archie and Jack, who were great for the Panthers last season, but they're at the very start of their careers, and maybe they'll be the generation after this generation, you know. So it's fascinating, you know. Of course, you know, with the situation with British players, and obviously already seeing that Panthers have signed three of them, that there's no confirmation yet about the import levels, although they have been rumoured to be changing. So I guess we'll sit and have a watching brief on that. But obviously there might be less places available. So it'll be fascinating to see what does go down there. And obviously, you know, is there a spot for someone like Jack Hopkins and Archie Hazeldine, which will be really interesting to see. And that kind of moves us on nicely to end now, really. Well, no, before Great Britain, let's go Guildford Flames, Jono. I'm sure you've been looking at social media today. I have had to laugh a little bit because other fans seem more angry than Guildford fans. I mean, when I look at the statement, I can see that, you know, I'm going to be, maybe my opinion does not tally with what I've seen a lot of today. I think they're wrong for not going in, but I do understand their logic. I think they're trying to say, we can't afford to potentially, well, we can't host, that you know, they've given the reasons that they can't host. And they're also saying they don't think they can effectively be away for potentially 2 weekends. And cram those games in satisfaction for them to kind of have a bid at domestic trophies. We all know that in times gone by, the Continental Cup's been the curse of the Panthers league form. So Jono, to you, do you agree with me and that you understand their logic and don't agree, or do you see it differently?
I understand their logic, but I don't agree with them not entering, like you. And I think when we won it, we played three rounds all the way. So we had to fit more fixtures in, but that's what we had to do to win it. And I don't know. I can understand their logic. Like I said, I don't agree with it because for me, I just don't think it makes the league look good overall, because a team is turning down that opportunity to go and play in Europe. That doesn't sit well with me at the moment, but to be fair to them, they've come out, they've explained why and been very clear about why they won't do it, which is fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, their fans aren't going to care come April if they've won the league or playoffs.
Exactly.
I think it's a brave decision. They've obviously thought long and hard about it. Greeno, what do you think? Where do you sit on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't really know much about it until you started speaking about it. But from what I've picked up from you guys, I mean, I think, yeah, two things it's a shame is, one, that they're not representing the league. I think you almost have a duty. You know, you're a good team, you've been in it, you can now go away and represent the league and boost the sort of eyes on the league, and you're not doing it. I think also it's a shame for their fans, because Guildford have been in the EPL for however many years. They've now been in the Elite League, and they're doing really well. But, you know, as a Guildford fan, wouldn't you want to go away for a weekend and go somewhere and support them and follow them? Also, I think it's a big thing that they're maybe missing, that it's a great way to attract players. You know, if I'm a player looking to sign for a team and I'm like, oh, they're in this European competition, like I can go and, you know, maybe get scouted from that as well. So are they saying they don't want to go because fixture congestion and because they'll miss too many home gates, so they don't want to...
Reading the statement, it's kind of what, you know, I think that they were said. I'll read a bit to you. We cannot play any home games. They say that the Spectrum, they just cannot get Friday, Saturday, Sunday dates at the Spectrum. I guess that's due to other things that go on the ice on other days. So,
but that's for them hosting it, do they
that's
mean?
For them hosting. But then they've said, we cannot play home games. And then they would maybe play six games over three games in 3 nights, long distance Euro travel. That means we've already got 70 games. The competition would force us to miss a couple of extra weekends and shift too many games. I mean, you know, financially, that, you know, we all know that midweek games leave you with a bit of a hit rather than weekend.
Yeah.
a fixture congestion. You know, are they aspiring to win the league and the cup or playoffs? Yes, they are. So I get that logic, but they could enter the Continental Cup and win that, and that would be amazing. So
yeah. I just, sorry to cut you off there. I just think that if it was like a sort of bigger team, I'd almost understand it. Like if Cardiff said that, I'd be like, okay, do you know what? You're in it every year and you've been in the Champions League.
That's worse, really Sabrina. Like, if it was Cardiff or Nottingham or Sheffield, I think it'd be worse.
I just think for them, they've never even experienced, like, I just think like you did so well finishing second, and then you're not going to almost celebrate that by going into Europe. Do you know what I mean? I just think it's like, you're probably not going to get that chance again, realistically. Like, like you said, I mean, we don't know the ins and outs, or I certainly don't financially. If it makes sense for them, then that's fine. But I think if I was, you know, if they've got a Ben O'Connor or whoever they're keeping from last year, they might be a bit like, oh, that's a shame. That would have been cool. Like, we did so well to make that, and then we're now not going away and playing in it. It seems a bit like,
yeah. Our mate Lacker will be disappointed. If he's going back to Guildford, he won't be happy.
I know, yeah. Or his parents more, because they like the trips, don't they? But
but yes.
Yeah, So will another team from this league now get asked, or will we just not?
I guess so. I mean, my hunch is it goes to Sheffield, doesn't it? For third in the table. I mean, I've not seen anything official.
Yeah, can remember when we hosted it a few years ago, and the Spanish team that was should have been there couldn't do it, and Biplo were brought in late on.
I think
Sheffield will take their place.
I wasn't sure if it would go to that, or like, because Belfast won the playoffs, maybe the loser of the playoffs, which was obviously Cardiff, but no, you guys are probably right, it'll be Sheffield. But yeah, I just think it's like Chris said at the start, I think for this league to grow like we want it to, you need as much exposure as possible. And, you know, think what the year when we won it, what that did for British hockey and getting us on the map and whatever. And, you know, Guildford might not have won it, but I just think, I don't know, if they're using fixture congestion as a reason, I don't know, an extra three games, maybe six, you know. Yeah, I think there's more positives to negatives by doing it. But, you know, like you said, if they go and win the league this year, then they'll show up. So
yeah. Maybe the IITF should award the place to the UK team with the best record in the Continental Cup.
Yeah, nice. And CHL.
Yeah, but you say the CHL. We're running out of time, Jono. But you say the CHL, and you remember this: a team or two turned down the chance to play in CHL. That's how Panthers got in 1 year.
That's true. I think it was Belfast, wasn't it, originally?
I remember.
Invited. And yeah, I think we got in as Challenge Cup holders.
Yeah.
I think, was it Belfast were invited, then Sheffield, and both turned it down,
I can't think how Brayhead would have turned it down with.
No, but I think Brayhead went in the second season, didn't they?
That was it. Yeah. I don't remember whether it was a hoo-ha. But in that time of things, maybe Twitter wasn't invented. It wasn't that long ago. we've not got long, but we were all there in that building for most of the week, weren't we? And certainly on that final day, 6,000 people to watch GB win promotion against Italy. I mean, our start, it was just emotional. It was just absolutely fabulous, you know, to see those boys who have put in so much to get them where they were. And we talk about special moments. There's been so many. There's obviously winning on home ice in Belfast to go from the third to the second tier. The moment in Budapest with Robert Farmer's goal, Ben Davis's goal in the second tier in the top flight in Slovakia. But this one was a different type of special for me, because it was on home ice. It wasn't a single moment. It was a series of moments, probably capped off by Cade Nielsen's goal. But it was a series of moments, not just to do it in front of the home fans, to have 6,000 people all together, you know, yearning for one thing. But the fact that within moments, the players' families were on the ice, and to see that was really special. To you, Greener, I know you got to see a lot of it. How did you find it? It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, and do you know what? You sort of nailed it there. Like with the other moments you said with Ben Davis and Farms and that, it was a sort of a one-off moment, you know, a split second that kind of changed history. And it was, whereas this was just an accumulation of, you know, some really good crowds, some really good games. Like that Poland game was a really good game. And even like, you know, Lithuania caused us some problems, and you know, Italy put up a fight till the end, and it was just sort of building and building. But I mean, yeah, I think for me it was, you know, just winning that game was obviously amazing. The crowd, we were talking before, Johnny, you know, we were saying about how good the crowd was, but I think the two things for me was Cade scoring that goal. For me, it was like a new era of, like, you know, obviously we've got a lot of good players, but you know, Cade in my eyes is kind of the face of, yeah, of GB moving forward. You know, he's going to be such a big piece. And it was almost like Jonna handing the mantle over to him. Do you know what I mean? It was kind of like, it was all about Jonna because it was his last game, but Cade kind of stepped up, and that moment was almost like him saying, you know, I'll take it from here. And yeah, just Jonna, you know, I'm sure we can talk about it now. Obviously the injury he had, you know, playing through it, you know, I'm sure lots of guys were banged up, but him being on the ice when they won it and everything, and just, yeah, you know, the video and the tribute to him, it was the perfect ending for the season, for Jonna's career, for GB. It was, I don't think you could have written the script any better, really. And yeah, it was for all of you guys that kind of put the tournament on or helped do it, you know, it was amazing. So yeah, excellent.
It was remarkable. But yeah, Jono really shouldn't have been playing. There was a few of them as well who were absolutely banged
well,
up.
Well, I think Matthew Mize as well, because he took quite a nasty hit earlier in that Italy game and came back out.
Didn't think he'd come back out. And then there he was. I was getting texts going, what's wrong with Matthew? Is he okay? Is he okay? Next thing I know is he's coming back on the bench. Jono, just finally, we've experienced some great moments with our Panthers hat on, that you know, loads of moments in that building. But that, to me, is right up there with them for a single sort of game, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. The atmosphere throughout the entire 60 minutes was absolutely phenomenal for the whole game. Yeah, the noise when Cade Nielsen popped that empty netter in was the roof came off the place. And, you know, they got what they deserved. They won every single game in that tournament, and they absolutely deserve to be back where they are in the top tier for next season. It was a great performance over the week, and they fully deserve to be there.
Great stuff, guys. Thank you very much. We'll probably be back in a couple of weeks or so. There'll be plenty to talk about, I'm sure, in the coming days and weeks. But for now, thanks for joining us on the podcast on Panthers Radio in association with Synomics.